This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host. And today, oh my gosh, I absolutely loved the guest. I had Nicole Victoria, who is the self-proclaimed no budget babe, on my podcast. I absolutely loved speaking with her. First of all, she's just so cool. She has a 15-month-old son, and this woman is doing it all. I mean, she's running a business and, you know, a new mom, and I don't know, I very much admire that. But she also, let me just say, gave me basically a crash course for dummies when it comes to finances, because, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, yes, I did major in international business. I just graduated, so I should remember everything that I learned, but guys, I'm not gonna lie. I did take international finance and then a few other finance courses. Did I get some help from friends along the way? That is definitely it's definitely a possibility. Not saying I cheated, but I definitely did get some help. So it was really nice to talk to Nicole, and she really broke down all the important things that all new graduates really need to know. But you know, you can apply this to your life in a financial sense, even if you're still in college or, you know, in high school even. I think it's never too young to start saving and start learning about money, especially since I feel, and I also mentioned this during the podcast as well, but I feel that women and girls aren't really taught about finances. Yes, sometimes we are taught about taxes in school, but it's very, I don't know, I feel like the education system in terms of how we are supposed to handle our money as we, you know, go into the workforce and as we are, you know, saving for X, Y, and Z, we aren't taught and given the tools of how to invest in certain funds and whether we should invest in the stock market or in mutual funds or in EFTs and all of those kinds of things, which we do go over in the podcast, which I think, you know, this will definitely benefit everyone. I, for one, let me just say, even though I know I mentioned I do kind of have a little bit of education regarding finance and whatnot, this definitely helped to clarify a few different things, especially in terms of just investing and learning how to kind of break down my limiting beliefs that I have for me financially. And that was another thing that I thought was really interesting that we talked about. A lot of people obviously talk about limiting beliefs and how really these can inhibit you from going after your dreams or really just seeing yourself in a negative light. But one thing I love about Nicole and her philosophy is that she applies that to money and how limiting beliefs that you have can really inhibit you from saving the amount that you want because you feel like you just need to buy that fancy dress for no reason, or you need that, I don't know, Lamborghini. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think many people are buying Lamborghinis now during COVID. I mean, I know I don't have that kind of money in my bank account, and I'm assuming that the people listening to this podcast don't. But if you do, you know, go girlfriend. I support, to be honest. But if you can't tell, I'm also a little delirious. This is such a side note and tangent. It's 10 p.m. on Monday night. Yes, it is only 10 p.m., but this is my bedtime because I usually wake up at like 6 or 6:30 for work. But I digress. Anyways, we talked a lot also about just mindset around money and how to shift your mindset from a scarcity mindset to more of an abundant mindset. So that's just a little bit of what we talked about. I think this episode will bring so much knowledge and value to everyone, especially to, you know, just my younger listeners. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to your finances. So Listen up, y'all, because Nicole is spilling some major tea. I have no idea why I just said y'all. Maybe it's because I am in Arizona. So I guess I can now go into my life update, you know, because so much is happening in my life right now. Not really. That was very sarcastic if you couldn't tell. But currently, like I said, it is Monday. I believe it is September the 14th, and this will go out on the 15th. But this past Saturday, I woke up in the morning, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden I felt like I should go back to Arizona today. And might I add, it is a 6-hour drive, and you know, I do work remotely, so that's why I would be able to do it. But, you know, I just kind of needed a break, and I guess I'd suddenly decided that, you know, right then and there, I needed to drive back to Arizona immediately. So I recorded this podcast with Nicole, and then 2 or 3 hours later, there I was driving through the desert in my little Honda, and it was kind of nice and relaxing. I love blasting country music while I'm on my little road trips, and if any of you haven't been to Arizona, I definitely say I feel like everyone should go because it's such a unique place in a sense of there's Scottsdale. So I think most people have heard of Scottsdale, which is basically a suburb of Phoenix. And it's just a lot of resorts, golfing, great restaurants, lots of plastic surgery and fake boobs, and everyone is tan. So I definitely would say Arizona is kind of like Texas and California had a baby. So just imagine that. That's where I'm from. You go to certain parts and you see people literally, you see actual cowboys riding their horses through the desert. And then you go about 15 miles in a different direction. And then you see, you know, all of those soccer moms. So needless to say, Arizona is definitely an interesting place to have grown up. Fairly boring because there is not much to do. It is basically hot as hell. Like, no pun intended, it gets 120 during the summer. Thank God, I think it is around at least 100, which isn't too bad, to be honest. I sit outside and do my work. I don't know, to some people that might sound like hell, but you know, it's kind of nice when there's a breeze. But yes, I am home and it's really nice to be home. My mom is making me dinner and I don't have to do my own laundry. And to be honest, you just forget, especially, I mean, I've been living on my own, you know, since I moved away when I was 19 years old and I'm 23 right now. So you kind of forget how nice it is to, you know, someone to care for you and just buy you all the food that you like. So that's a little bit of a life update. I also talk in the episode about how, you know, I might be making a career switch soon. You know, I'm not gonna reveal too much because I am always afraid that my boss will listen to this podcast, even though I really hope to God he doesn't. But, you know, I can't reveal everything. I gotta keep it a little bit exciting. And, you know, I'll let things kind of come into fruition at first. And then, you know, I'll let you guys probably within the next few weeks, all of the lowdown. And I also do mention during the podcast that I am doing a book writing program. So my friend Alexa, I love her, she introduced me to some professor at Georgetown who has this, I guess, book creation program, and I should have a book published sometime next year. Super exciting. That's one of the things I'm super excited about. And yeah, I would say that's just a little bit of a life update. But other than that, I think we should start getting in the podcast because I'm also so incredibly tired and I want to go to bed. But enough of me rambling and let's get into the podcast. Okay, guys, we have a very, very special guest on the podcast today. Welcome, Nicole, the No Budget Babe.
Hello. 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 I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Sarah.
Of course. Thank you for being on my podcast. So excited to have you. So before we, you know, get started, I'd love it if you could give me about, you know, a 30-second spiel of who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, love it. Okay. So my name is Nicole Victoria. I am the No Budget Babe. I am a money coach and financial literacy advocate with a specialization in helping 20 and 30 something millennial women take control of their finances and build bank accounts that never stop growing.
Well, that sounds amazing because I definitely kind of need help in that regard, especially to helping my bank account start growing a little bit more. You know, it's a little bleak right now.
You are not alone there.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to start off with the idea behind you being kind of the self-proclaimed no budget babe. I really want to kind of know the idea behind that and how that idea came about.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so a little bit of background information on me and how this kind of all started. I did, you know, kind of what you were supposed to do, right? I took out massive student loans and I got the 9-to-5 job and I had a ton of cute clothes in the closet and I wasn't really making any headway. Like I was making great money, but I had absolutely nothing to show for it. And it came to a day where I was sitting in my rental apartment and, you know, you're scrolling Facebook, scrolling Instagram, and you're like, shit. You know, everyone's out here getting married and buying houses and doing all of these amazing things. And I have no idea how the hell anybody is affording to do any of that. I'm like, I was so confused. And I honestly kept playing the victim for a long time. I was angry at my parents for not paying for my school. And I was angry at the government for creating a society where, you know, you kind of become stuck like this. And I was angry at the housing market for being so damn expensive. But when I really took a look at my life and I did an audit on what was going on, I realized, you know, I need to stop playing the victim and take control of what's going on. So I learned everything that I could about personal finance and I tried budgeting. I tried all of that stuff. I tried the envelope method and the jar method. And I really just felt like I never got ahead with it. Like I'd see really good results in the first couple of months. But then I'd fall off because I always felt so restricted. And I'm like, there has to be a better way than giving up everything that I love just to kind of like get ahead. Right. So that's when I developed the method that I teach now, which is the Making Money Moves method, which really helps women go through life and figure out what it is that they love and figure out how they can get ahead with money without giving up everything that really makes life worth living for them.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love that because I mean, I just graduated college and, you know, I have, you know, the typical 9-to-5, to be honest, not, you know, raking in the dough just yet. And so I have come to a point in my life where I'm like, okay, what do I need to give up or where do I need to stop spending? And, you know, I use, you've probably heard of it, but it's called mint.com. So it's basically a budgeting app. And I don't know, I've been using that, but still sometimes I find it difficult to, you know, stay within, you know, the limits that I set within myself. And I know you talk a lot about how that comes back to mindset. And I know that growing up, you talked a lot about having a scarcity mindset in terms of money. So can you speak a little bit more on that and how it kind of translates into how you view finances overall?
Yeah. So, I mean, I struggled with a scarcity mindset for a long time. And I think maybe a lot of the listeners don't really know what a scarcity mindset is. But when I say scarcity mindset, what I mean is feelings like, you know, I'm never going to have enough money, that there's not enough money for me, that I have to always trade more of my time to get more money. You know, and going back to that kind of victim mentality again, where it's like, you know, we blame the government or our parents or our spouses or whatever it is, and say that they're the reason, like somebody should be coming to save us. They're the reason why we're not able to achieve what we want in life. And that scarcity mindset also comes back to budgets, which I just think further reinforce that same kind of a mindset where we don't have enough, where we can't be in control of our money, that we need some little piece of paper to tell us exactly what we need to do when we really, like, I don't use a budget now. When I saved my first $100,000, that was not with a budget, right? Like that had nothing to do with budgeting or any of that kind of stuff. It was about really aligning my purchases and my goals to my values. And understanding how that all kind of reflects in and of itself, and then following some basic financial principles. Like in and of itself, personal finance is actually very easy, right? When you think of it at its most basic level, you pay your future self first. And when I say your future self, I mean the you in like 5 years, the you in 10 years, Sarah in 5 years, what the hell does she want, right? Pay her first, okay? You live on less than you make, and you invest early and often. It's so simple, but we don't do it. Why? It's psychology. psychology that makes it hard. And that's why so much of what I teach and what I believe in is based on the psychology aspect, because I mean, psychologists have known this forever, right? Like our actions today are based on typically past experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Past experiences shape the way that we behave and the way that we view the world and our lens in which we make all of our decisions with. So I think it's important to really address the reason why you're not hitting your goals, the reason why you're self-sabotaging or why you're overspending, as opposed to just being like, hey, I have this little piece of paper that tells me to spend 30% of my income on rent. So cool, I'm good now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I completely agree with the whole, you know, how your mindset really affects how you just live and go about your life. And especially in terms of just like, I'm 23 years old and I hear a lot of girls. I actually had a conversation with someone yesterday and she's like, you know, I've had a really rough day. I just need to go buy myself that dress that I've been wanting, which I mean, that's fine. But then also if you do that often, that's when, you know, you get yourself into trouble, especially when you're spending money on things that you feel like you're trying to fill a void with. And so I feel like self-therapy is an issue that a lot of women face, especially I know during quarantine. Apparently, I think they said something like online shopping has just exponentially gone up because, I don't know, we feel like we need to fill a void because, you know, our lives are quote unquote on hold at the moment with everything going on in the world.
100%. And I think that's one of the big questions that I think you really need to ask yourself before you buy something. Like, am I trying to fill an emotion? And it's not really our fault, right? Because we from a young age are taught to get external validation, right? We are taught even as babies, okay, you need something when you're a baby. You know, I'm crying, I get a blanket, somebody gives me a bottle of milk or whatever it is. And we are taught as we go throughout life to seek that external source of validation through something other than ourselves. So it's no wonder that when we get older, we keep trying to fill those voids with other things. But I think it's really about bringing those subconscious thoughts, you know, the thoughts that really run 80 to 90% of our day into our conscious mind, picking them apart, being like, why the heck do I actually think this? You know, because a lot of us don't question what we do. We just keep doing the same shit mm-hmm. over and over again. And asking yourself, am I trying to fill a need right now or a perceived societal void? Like, is society telling me that I need this to be like more popular or cool or more liked or successful or whatever it is?
Exactly. And I talked about this actually on a few of my podcast episodes, but I think a lot of people just kind of go through life on autopilot and don't really question like, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And so kind of that being said, what are some common, you know, negative mindsets, especially in terms of money that you see after, you know, you've done all of your coaching with people? What are some common negative mindsets that people do have regarding money?
Honestly, I think the biggest one, I mean, there's a few of them. I think the biggest thing really, though, is believing that our past experiences have to define who we are. Just because they have shaped your methods or your behaviors doesn't mean that they need to continue to do that. And we are not defined by who we have been. And I think as a generation, you know, I went through this like a few years ago where I went through this like existential crisis and I'm like, who am I? Like, what does this all mean?
I've been there so many times.
Right? And it's like, I realized instead of trying to figure out who we are or who we've been, like that's irrelevant and it doesn't mean anything. I think we need to figure out who do we want to be? Because you get to choose, right? And I think when we can go through life, waking up, realizing that every day is the same day, unless we change something about it, and that we have the power to choose who we want to be. Once we can get through that, like, I think the results are endless. Like, you can achieve anything you want with the right time, knowledge, and passion. I truly wholeheartedly believe that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you say that because I actually heard a statistic. I think it was actually on a TikTok yesterday, but she was saying that 98% of your thoughts that you have today were basically just a rerun of the thoughts that you had yesterday. So it, yeah, that was super interesting. So that just kind of goes to show that you have to really be cognizant and conscious of what you're thinking in order to switch your mindset. And I know you mentioned earlier that by the time you were 25, you saved $100,000, which to me is absolutely amazing. So how did you do that? And how are you able to kind of start switching your mindset in order to see money differently?
For sure. So I guess I really explain a lot of this in like my 5-step process, which is the Making Money Moves method. And the first one really is all about mindset. You have to be able to change your mindset, first of all, from a fixed to a growth mindset, right? So when we think of like a fixed mindset would say, you know, if Rome wasn't built in a day, then maybe it wasn't meant to be. A fixed mindset believes we are who we are and there's no changing it, that our levels of intelligence, our knowledge, our personality, that is all fixed and we cannot change it. A growth mindset is primed for success. A growth mindset knows that we might not all be Albert Einstein, but we don't know anyone's true potential if they had the right time, the right knowledge, and the right passion. That type of a growth mindset would say, yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? They know that there is always something more that they can learn. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. And that is like one of my favorite quotes. And I think it's so important. And I think the mindset piece is almost more important than any of the financial stuff. Because, and that's why when we go through my process, like when I go through with my coaching clients, we don't even touch the numbers until like the fourth module. Why? Because I want to set such a solid freaking foundation that when we get to the numbers, it's effortless, right? We don't have to be like, oh, what can we give up or whatever. Like, we don't have to give things up that we love, but we need to figure out what it is that we love. And that comes through our mindset, that comes through knowing that our circumstances can be different than what they are today. Going through that, then you have to really learn how to stop self-sabotaging, because a lot of us know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it, right? And why don't we do it? So we have to understand why we don't do it and how to change those patterns that we have created. From there, we really need to be able to set good goals, because a lot of people, when they come to me, they're like, Nicole, I want a lot of money. I'm like, I love that. Like, yes, but why? And I think what we can do in this instance is ask yourself why 5 times. So, okay, let's do this together. Tell me what your number one goal is right now.
Okay, you're putting me on the spot. I know. My number one goal right now is to, honestly, I really want to be a writer, and I'm actually going through a book program. So I'm going to start writing my own book, and hopefully it'll be out by next year. So that's, I think, my overall goal right now.
I love that. Okay, so why?
Because I am going to write a book. This is what I think so far. I think it's going to be about limiting beliefs that women all face in life and how to overcome those beliefs.
Okay. Why?
Okay. Oof. why? Because I think I have been through some really tough seasons in my life, and I want to help girls overcome those seasons that I think we all kind of face to varying extents.
Okay. Why?
Because life is really hard, and I think we need to create a community that supports others.
Now, I mean, I could keep asking you. Typically, we're supposed to ask why 5 times, but like, isn't that last answer so much more freaking powerful? Like, hey, I'm going to come out here. I'm writing this book because I'm going to create massive change. I'm going to help women stop self-sabotaging, stop getting in their own way, and be successful. Doesn't that just motivate you so much more than saying, Nicole, I'm going to write a book?
I know. I literally feel like a fire lit underneath my ass right now. I was like, wow, I feel so empowered right now in this moment. Really, like, I started sweating. I was like, whew, I don't know.
Oh my God. But like, that's the biggest thing, right? And a lot of people, like I said, they'll come to me and they're like, Nicole, I want a lot of money. Okay, why? And when we get down to the root reason, that is your freaking motivator. That is your why. right? Not the freaking money. Like that being like, I want a million Benjamins in the bank. Like that's not going to motivate you to get up every day and do what you need to do. You know what motivates you? Saying that I'm going to do this because I want this for my children, or I'm going to do this because I want to create massive change in the world, or I'm going to do this because I love spending time with friends and family, and I can't do that living the life that I live right now.
Exactly. Okay. Well, wow. That, I think that is definitely, I have to like take a second, honestly, to just like soak in everything that you said, because it was so profound, honestly. And I'm still a little shook from that. Why? I don't know, but I don't even know what you call it, but practicing
the five whys.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. Well, in terms of really, I guess, saving that 100K by 25, do you have any tangible steps or pieces of advice that really helped you achieve that?
Yeah. I mean, so the number one thing, aside from changing my mindset, was really figuring out what was important to me, what I actually valued, and then asking myself before I went out to go buy something, you know, what was more important? Right? Is it my goal or is it this thing? And if you really want it, if you really want the Starbucks coffee, that's cool, right? But just know that there has to be some sort of a choice somewhere. But if you really love your Starbucks coffee and that lights your soul up, girl, keep doing that. The point is not to cut things that we love, it's to cut the excess. So I think what's another really important exercise actually is figuring out what are real hourly wages. So a lot of us, you know, if you look at your paycheck, you're like, okay, I make like $20 an hour, I make $30 an hour, whatever it is. But that's not actually how much you make. And I'm not just talking about taxes, okay? Because there are so many expenses that go into working that we don't think about. Right? How much money are we spending on licensing fees? How much money are we spending on travel to and from work? How much time are we spending traveling to and from work? And we can have those hard costs, you know, like how much gas we're paying for, how much food we're paying for, the work clothes that we're paying for. But there's also the soft cost. Like, how much time do you spend when you get home from work? Do you spend like trying to relax, trying to unwind, venting to your friends or your partner about your shitty day, right? And you have to take all of that into account because it's a drain on your resources. And the number one resource that we all have is time. So when you really understand, when you go through that exercise and you're like, hey, what are all of the actual costs associated with me having this job? And maybe my hourly wage isn't $30 an hour. Maybe it's only 15. Once you take all of that into consideration and you're like, shit. So before, when you're going out and you're like, oh, I'm going to buy these shoes, it's only like $60. It's 2 hours of work. But when you realize maybe you actually only make $10 an hour, you're like, oh my God, it's almost a full day of work for that. That can help you change your mindset.
That's a really good exercise to use, because I've never thought about, especially in terms of the soft cost of looking at like what I'm paid. And after thinking about what you just said, I feel like I'm paid absolutely nothing.
No, but this is the thing too, because a lot of people will stay in jobs that they hate because they think they make really great money. And on paper they might, because they're like, okay, you know what, say for you, you're like, I really want to be a writer, but what you're doing right now, you're not in writing, right?
No, I'm not.
So you're going to this job and maybe you're like, well, Nicole, I can't afford to quit this job because I make more money doing that than I would writing. Mm-hmm. But when you go through this exercise, maybe you find out that it would be actually the same amount in your pocket if you were writing.
Yeah.
Right. And it can allow you to actually go out and reach your dreams and find true happiness instead of just slugging through life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would totally agree. And, you know, that's kind of my next game plan, is to do a little career switch, hopefully within the next couple months or weeks, honestly. So
I love it. I love it.
If you like what you're listening to right now, you're guaranteed to love my podcast. Hi, my name is Vanessa Rock, the host of the On the Rocks podcast, a podcast all about life, love, and the pursuit of a great cocktail. I'm a 22-year-old college student living in San Diego, California, who's just trying to figure my shit out. And that's what I bring to my podcast, an open, honest, vulnerable conversation focused on self-development. I like to bring guests on who are passionate about what they do, and I've also even gone as far as to bring virtual dates from apps like Bumble and Hinge to my podcast to discuss if we think we're compatible or not. I love to talk about what I'm drinking, who I'm dating, and what I'm doing. You're not going to want to miss the episodes that release every single Thursday, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Very exciting. But in terms of just talking about money too, in general, I know that you've spoken a little bit about how the middle class has this perceived taboo regarding money. And I would completely agree, because growing up, my parents would always say, you don't talk about three things, and it's money, politics, and religion. And so why do you think this mindset is really detrimental to the middle class or people who are really looking to save money?
Well, it's interesting because that video you're talking about, it blew up on TikTok, and there were a lot of people that were all for it. And there were a lot of people that were super angry, and they were like, knowing how to budget isn't going to change my situation, blah, blah, blah. And I think what's really important to know is that when I talk about personal finance and when I talk about money taboos and financial literacy, I'm not just talking about like knowing how to budget. I'm not just talking about, you know, like not spending money that you don't have on a credit card. I'm talking about things like, do you know what a mutual fund is, the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF? Do you understand what's happening when you go in and speak to a financial advisor? Do you know how to get your money working for you? Do you know how to build generational wealth? Now, is financial literacy going to fix every single problem that we have on this planet when it comes to money? No, yes, there are still, you know, the housing prices have increased, the cost of living has increased, and wages have not kept up. At the same time, though, I think we can continue to stay in this mindset where, you know, we believe that everything is happening to us, or we can try to take control. Because yes, maybe there will be change. Maybe, you know, amazing things will happen, and whatever happens, you know what I mean? Like whatever can happen. But at the same time, this is the game right now. This is the game. And we need to understand the rules of the game so that we can play to win. And will it fix everybody's situation right now? Maybe not. But will it help create generational wealth? Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And if we look at, like, I think a really good analogy for this is like, if I don't know what the statistics are, but if we look at how many people go to college where their parents have gone to college, right? Imagine like your grandparents, your parents, you, like how much more likely are you to go to college if everyone in your family has gone to college?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, how much more likely are you to start investing, to start, you know, saving your money, to treat credit cards as, you know, a tool as opposed to a loan to get a sweater kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. If we have this information and this knowledge from a young age that, hey, this is what you do, then things can be very different. We can start to build generational wealth, and maybe it won't fix our generation, but maybe the next generation or their generation will have more to go off of. And I think a big example of this is I was talking to an acquaintance that I have a few weeks ago, and his son is 14, and he got some money for his birthday. He got some money for his birthday. And do you know what he wanted to do with that money?
Invest it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he wanted to buy a freaking Apple stock. He's like, hey, dad, can I buy an Apple stock?
That's a smart kid.
That's what I mean, though. But this is the thing. Is he smart? Is he smart? Is he better than other kids? Or does he just know that the earlier you start investing, the better off you're going to be, the more your money is going to make you money, because money is the best worker. Money doesn't get tired. Money doesn't need a break. Money doesn't have a family to go home to at 5 p.m. Money can work for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. And he knows that. Why? Because his dad has had him involved in making investments, in money, talking about those things. Like, you know what I mean? I think it was kind of mind blowing to me, because most kids at that age would be like, I want an Apple Watch, not an Apple stock.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say if I was 14, I'd be like, get me the new shoes, get me, I don't know, everything, something that would probably go out of style within literally a year.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's not necessarily about changing everything today. And yes, I would love for everything to change today. But if we made this a regular thing where people were not only and I had a lot of people being like, well, we had personal finance in school. I'm like, I'm not just talking about how to write a check, because I had that class too. I don't care about that at the end of the day. I want to teach people about, you know, a high yield savings account and why you need to put your emergency fund in there because it's losing money due to inflation, like just things like that, that most people don't know about. And it's crazy to me. And it doesn't seem okay, because when you don't know, that's when you are, you know, prey basically for these predatory practices like payday loans and, you know, credit card. Like, how many of us are in credit card debt, like mountains and mountains and mountains of consumer debt, buying shit we don't even need because we are not even really taught about what that means, what those interest rates mean, that it would take us like 48 years to pay off a $5,000 credit card, making the minimum payment every month. It's wow. Mind blowing.
I didn't even know that. That's insane.
When you work out the numbers, depends on the interest rate, depends on the minimum payment, but minimum payments are somewhere around 2%. Years and years and years, you can spend your whole life paying things off. We think that the minimum payment is okay because it's the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum payment is created to keep you in debt and make you a good credit card customer. It's not created to help you.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the biggest things I've learned in just looking at my own expenses and credit card bills, and what I try to do is pay off my entire bill every single month. And also that keeps you like having a good credit score. I don't know. I've learned a little bit about money, but I also want to learn a little bit more about investing. And I know that you have spoken a little bit about investing, obviously, with the 14-year-old boy wanting to invest in Apple. So I know a lot of my listeners also are women, young women, either in college or just out of college. And I think there's a lot of confusion, especially for females. I feel like women aren't really taught the same about finances as men. And that's probably because, you know, the world is a little sexist and whatnot. But what is the difference, just to help kind of clarify the difference between stocks and mutual funds and what to invest in and all of that? Are there any kind of specific funds that we should be investing in at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, so I can't give out specific investing advice because it's really going to depend on three factors. The first one is your goals, right? Then your timeline and your tolerance to risk. And I think the biggest thing to remember is I can tell you that this is a great fund for me, but if my tolerance to risk is different than yours and you look and you see in the short term that you lose money because the prices go up and down all the time, it's not going to work for you. If you have a very short time horizon, it's not going to work for you. To invest in the markets, like to buy stocks or ETFs or mutual funds or anything, I typically say that you want to have a timeline of at least 4 to 5 years before you need that money. I don't teach day trading. You know, when you think of like the guy on the phone, like all angry, yelling at the screen and stuff. Day trading is akin to like taking your life savings, going to the casino and throwing it all on black.
Ooh.
Right. So I personally wouldn't do that. What I like is long-term investing strategies, because if we look at what the markets have done over the long term, they have gone up. Will they always go up? I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. The past doesn't 100% dictate the future, but do I believe that if I invest in good companies and have a diversified portfolio, and we can get into that in a second, will I make money in the long term? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about like the difference between like stocks and mutual funds, think of a stock like a company needs money. Okay. And the company's like, how am I going to get money? I'm going to sell a piece of myself. That's how I'm going to get some money. So they make a piece of themselves available, but they don't just sell it to you as the consumer. They take it to a store, which is called the stock exchange. And they give it to the store and they say, hey, can you sell this for us? And the stock exchange, you need like a membership. Think of it like that. You need a membership to go to the stock exchange, and regular people can't get memberships. But a brokerage has a membership. So you need to go to a brokerage. A brokerage can be like Wealthsimple or through your bank or through Vanguard or whatever it is, or Robinhood or whatever, right? You go to a brokerage and they can give you access to the stock exchange to buy stocks, which are just pieces of a company. When you have a stock, think of yourself as like a part owner in that company, a fractional owner. A mutual fund is like a basket of stocks. Okay. I like, say, like mutual funds or ETFs or index funds more than I like individual stocks. I don't personally invest in individual stocks because I believe it's like putting all of your eggs in one basket. Okay. Can you make more money? Potentially. Can you lose all of your money? Yes. So I like to take more of a risk averse approach to investing, which is why like you can't time the market, but you can spend time in the market. So the longer you are in the market, typically the better off you are. So now like a mutual fund or an ETF, they're basically the same thing, except like a mutual fund is an actively managed fund. And when I say actively managed, it means they have a fund manager. Okay, they have a guy that sits in an office and he spends all day being like, what companies should we invest in? And we're going to add those companies to our basket of stocks. And we have this basket of stocks and we make this basket available to other people. So instead of you being like, should I have some of like Apple, maybe a little bit of Facebook or whatever, you just go and buy a basket of stocks. And you can buy this basket of like the biggest and best companies in the world, right? You can buy ones for Canada, you can buy ones for the US, or you can buy ones that literally invest you in the biggest and best companies all over the world. Google, Amazon, Facebook, Toyota, Samsung, whatever it is, like worldwide. So you are diversified. Okay, diversified meaning you have a little bit of a bunch of different companies. So if one company goes, it's okay, right? And if one industry goes, it's okay. And if one country goes, it's okay. Because you have stuff from all different industries, from all different companies, from all different areas. So that's what a mutual fund is, okay? But because a mutual fund is actively managed, because you have a fund manager, you have to pay them, right? Mm-hmm. So the fees are very high in comparison to an ETF. An ETF is an exchange traded fund. It is basically the exact same thing as a mutual fund, except it is not actively managed. It follows like a certain index. Okay. So when I say index, think of like, okay, have you ever heard of like the S&P 500 before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So the S&P 500 basically is just a list of the 500 biggest and best companies in the United States. Okay. And what an index fund will do or an ETF, they will follow that index. So they will buy a little piece of every single one of those 500 companies and put it in a basket for you, okay? And they don't all follow the S&P 500, but that's just one example. So you can buy into ones that track certain indexes or measures or components of the market. ETFs, the fees for those are generally much less, like maybe 0.2%, okay? Versus a mutual fund where the fees are like 2.2%. So it might not seem like a lot, okay, but you have to think about, say the average return is 7%. You are taking 2.2% right off the top, meaning you're making 4.8% versus what you can make with an ETF. But here's the thing. A lot of people still invest in mutual funds, and I think mutual funds are a good fit for some people. Mm-hmm. Okay, the reason being is, okay, like let's look at the statistics. In 2018, the stock market dropped, I believe, 4%. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the average investor lost 9%. Why? Because they bought high and sold low. They made emotional investing decisions. So if you cannot trust yourself to not get overconfident about a company or freak out when you see some short-term ups and downs in the market, maybe you're better off with an actively managed fund where you have a financial planner or advisor working with you to manage your emotions. Because most investing problems where most people lose money is because they get emotional. So yes, it can be good for some people to have a financial planner or advisor and invest in mutual funds, even though they're not making as much money. On paper, they might actually just be making more money because they're protected from themselves, basically.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, when coronavirus happened, obviously the stock market went crazy. And I think obviously that happened because so many people became very emotional. And obviously it was so hard not to be emotional to some certain extent when, you know, everything went down in March and April, but you definitely saw that in the stock market and people were just selling everything and thinking that the world was going to end, but it was really came down to just emotions and not being able to gauge them correctly.
That's the thing. And when you think about it this way, like if you don't need that money, so if you're saving for retirement and you have your money in the stock market, and I don't need that money for 30 years. Does it matter if it drops tomorrow? No, because I don't need that money for 30 years. As long as I believe that in 30 years, it'll be worth more than it is today, then just leave it. Just hold it, right? You only lose money if you have to sell as long as you are not invested in like one company. Because yes, big companies can go bankrupt. They do all the time.
Yeah, Exactly. That's one piece of advice that my dad gave me. He is really great with money and just being very calm, cool, and collected, especially when it comes to the stock market. He's like, just leave it. He's like, everyone's freaking out right now, especially when coronavirus was happening. He's like, yeah, it's really low, but it's going to go back up. It always does. So I'm always grateful to have him. I always go to him for my money advice too, because he's just great with that. But wrapping up, what would you say are your three most important tips for people who just have graduated college or are looking to become more financially, you know, independent, you know, as the years go on?
Yeah, I think when we look at the basics of money management, I think like we were saying before, you know, the first one being always pay your future self first. Think about what your goals are. Okay. Figure out how much money you can put away every month. Set up auto deposits. Okay. So when that money comes into your account, you're not tempted to touch it. Take that money, put it into a separate account. Okay. Pay your future self first. That is the number one thing that you need to do before you do anything else. You put that money aside and you don't touch that money. If you put money away for a goal, you don't touch that money unless it's for that goal. Mm-hmm. Okay. The number two thing is that we really need to make sure that we have an emergency fund. And I think the reason why we see ourselves putting money into savings and then dipping into it and then putting it back in and then dipping into it, creating this vicious cycle, is because number one, we're not clear about what our actual goals are. We're just saving because we know that we're supposed to save and we don't really understand why. And number two is because we don't have an emergency fund, right? Like we need to, and I think if the pandemic has shown us anything, a lot of people will say like, oh, $1,000 is a good emergency fund or 3 months. Like, I think you need to have 6 months to a year. And when people hear that, they're like, holy shit, how am I ever going to save that much money? But it doesn't need to be the same kind of expenses as you have today. It is your bare bones expenses. Like the event of emergency, you're not getting your nails done. You're not going shopping. You're not going out for dinner. If you lose your job tomorrow, what are the things that you absolutely have to pay for? Okay, your mortgage, your rent, your car payment, whatever. That's it. Okay, save that money, put it in there, get it into a high yield savings account that's earning somewhere around 2% interest so that you are not losing the value of your money. Mm-hmm. And then don't touch it. And I guess the last thing would be to invest early and often. I think people don't understand the power of compound interest. If I never put another dollar into my retirement savings right now, like I would retire a millionaire. Do I have $1 million or anywhere close to there in it right now? No, like nowhere close to it, but it's going to grow by itself because of compound interest, right? The earlier you start, the less money you have to put in, the more your money will grow. I think those are the three biggest things.
Ugh, amazing. Okay. I'm making mental notes right now and that's what I really need to start doing. I do have a few funds, but you know, I kind of want to expand on it and hopefully, you know, be that millionaire that you mentioned when I retire.
I love it. You've got it, girl.
Oh, thank you. So just wrapping up, where can everyone find you? And are there any kind of programs that you are hosting at the moment for people who want to become money savvy?
Yeah. So people can find me on TikTok or on Instagram at No Budget Babe. I also have a free Facebook group that I just recently started called Master Your Money and Build a Bank Account That Never Stops Growing. I do free coaching in there every other Monday. So go on in, post your questions. I go live to answer them all. And the last one being, I have a new course coming out very soon, which is super exciting. It's called The Millionaire Investor. And basically what it does is it teaches you everything you need to know about investing, but in like super simple terms, like two girlfriends going out for a glass of wine and just talking money, talking investing, teaching you what you need to know, where to find the money from, how to set real tangible goals. What are the best investments for each one of your goals, buying a house, having kids, getting married, and how to navigate through all of the bullshit. So I have that coming out soon and I think it's going to be freaking amazing. And I am so excited about it.
Amazing. I know I need to sign up for that. I definitely need a little bit more coaching when it comes to money, but you know what? We're getting there. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on the podcast. I loved having you. And honestly, I think you can provide so much value for everyone, just in general, when it comes to saving money and learning to be a boss babe. So thank you so much again.
I love that, babe. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on here. It was amazing.
So that's the podcast for today, guys. I hope you loved it and learned a little bit more. I hope you guys actually, you know, put some of this information into practice. I know I am. I am about to, I don't know, open up a new mutual fund, you know, once I actually find the funds of my own to do so. But other than that, I'll make sure to put all of Nicole's information in the show notes below. Like she mentioned, she is coming out with a new program, so I highly suggest you guys look a bit more into that. I know I will be. And of course, as always, follow me on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. It really, really helps me. You guys actually have no idea how much even leaving a simple review helps. It is so much better than even sometimes getting that follow on Instagram, even though I do love that follow. So not going to complain there. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Remember that you are a badass bitch, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.